This is the fascinating story of Danso, the Planet Man, troubleshooter for the League of Planets organization, the law enforcement body for peace and justice in the celestial world, whose headquarters and center of operations are situated on the capital of all the planets, Planaria Rex.
Welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Loring, and I am your very quick host here. Glad to have you back. You must be a Planet Man fan because you're all the way up to episodes 12 through 14. And we've got them back to back for you. The first one, episode 12, Marston Dead? Or Marston's Dead? Or Marston Dead? However one of you interpret it. And then there's On a Scout Ship. And finally, Preparing to Blast Off. That's episode 14. 12, 13, and 14, one right after the other, and the rest of the 75 are coming your way. Thanks for listening in to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldie show. And remember, gang, off, level off, level off, level off. Level off.
The Planet Man. This is the fascinating story of Dantro, the Planet Man, troubleshooter for the League of Planets organization, the law enforcement body for peace and justice in the celestial world, whose headquarters and center of operations are situated on the capital of all the planets, Planaria Rex. From Mercury to Pluto, wherever danger threatens the universe, you will find Dantro, the Planet Man, fighting for fair play. In a moment, the Planet Man. Marston has surprised the Planet Man, Pat, Slats, and what he believes to be Professor Darrow in the tunnel under his palace. They had just used the ancient machine they found there to transport Marston's entire fleet to a remote planet and end his threat to solar peace. Now, however, things look very bad. As we find them, Marston is gloating over his luck in catching them all and also in finding the machine. But he is unaware that Professor Darrow is really not there. What he really sees is only a three-dimensional image projected by the machine.
Yes, Planet Man, I will save you for last. You can watch me take care of your friends one by one, then it will be your turn to pay the penalty for opposing the will of Marston. With you taken care of, I shall use this machine you have so kindly discovered to teach the League of Planets a lesson. First, I shall send Planaria Rex into the sun, then the other planets one by one will feel the weight of my power. Yes, Femur, it is just you and I against the solar system. But with this machine, we shall win.
We must do something to prevent his getting this machine. It's more dangerous than his fleet, and there can be no defense against
it. Stop whispering. What does it matter? You are all going to die. I think I have waited long enough. Who will be first?
Even you couldn't be low enough to shoot us down without a chance.
Quiet. I need no lessons from you, Professor. Be quiet or you will be the first.
Marston still doesn't know that that's only an image of my father he's talking to.
I hope Professor Darrow acts. He's our only chance.
Marston, you don't really think we're afraid of him?
I know you're afraid of me. You are not fools, and no sane man wants to die.
I'll show you.
Don't come near me, I'll shoot.
Shoot, then.
I warned you.
Look, the ray went right through him. It hit the machine. Look out!
Is everyone all right? Dantro, where are you going?
After Marston. He went down into the tunnel.
Well, be careful. He's armed.
I have the ray gun. I took it from the guard.
We'll wait here for you.
Gosh, he's a brave man. I'd hate to go down there in the dark after that maniac.
I wish there were some way we could help him.
Oh, I'm not really worried. I think he can outsmart or outray Marston any day in the week.
Well, I hope you're right. Say, we forgot to check the machine.
Not much left to check, I'm afraid. Just look at it.
Maybe it can be rebuilt.
Oh, I doubt it. From the way Dantro talked, no one knows enough about the ancient science to do the job. We were lucky to find it in working order and then be able to figure out how to operate it.
I hate to think what we would have done without it. You know, in a way, maybe it's just as well it has been destroyed. Think of what would have happened if Marston or someone like him ever really got hold of it.
Yeah, it'd be like he said. He and FEMA would rule the solar system. Great blazing asteroid.
Well, what's the matter? What's wrong?
I just thought of something that scares me.
Slats, will you please tell me what you're talking about?
FEMA, that's what I'm talking about. FEMA.
Well, what about FEMA?
You know what she is, don't you? A Martian flying cobra, one of the deadliest things that ever lived. Her venom just has to touch your skin and you die instantly.
I know all that. What about it?
Sure you know all about it. We all know all about it. But I'll bet you Dantro isn't even thinking about it. He's down there chasing Marston through those dark tunnels, thinking things are pretty even with both of them holding ray guns. And I'll bet you he's never even given a thought to that FEMA. She can see in the dark, too.
That's your right. We must warn Dantro somehow.
Well, there's only one way to do it. Looks like I'm elected.
Are you going after them?
Yeah, there's no other way. Wish me luck.
I do, Slats. Please be careful, but try to reach Dantro in time.
Marston! Marston, do you hear me? You might as well surrender. You can't run forever.
Surrender! That's your answer. Marston will never surrender.
Dantro and Marston are locked in deadly battle. Slats, the engineer, is trying to warn Dantro of FEMA, whose presence gives Marston the edge. We'll be back in a moment. So, level up. When we left Dantro, he was pursuing Marston through the treacherous underground tunnels. Marston has fired on Dantro but missed. Slats, in the meantime, has gone to warn Dantro of FEMA, the deadly Martian cobra who is with Marston. Dantro is unaware of FEMA's presence, and he stands vulnerable to attack in the tunnel.
Dantro! Dantro! Where the dickens are they? I can't keep this place up much longer. I just got to find them before it's too late. Dantro! Dantro, it's me, Slats!
Only we had some way of knowing whether your trick worked, Professor Darrow. You say you deliberately drew Marston's fire, knowing that his ray would pass right through your image? Do you remember anything else then?
No, Judge, it's just as I told you. The ray must have harmed the machine, for suddenly my whole picture of the room blocked out.
This waiting is so difficult. I gave orders to the fleet to descend at once and send armed search parties into the tunnels. Until we get word from them, we have no way of knowing whether Marston or our friends have won out.
I know how you feel, Judge. After all, Pat is my flesh and blood, and Slats is almost like a son.
Well, at least the two youngsters are safe. They arrived at Planaria Rex just a few hours ago.
Just a little bit further, we'll have Planet Man where we want him, huh, Fever? A little bit further, if I remember, there should be a chasm in the floor. Let him think he has me cornered, and then we'll show him our little trick, won't we, Fever?
Marston! I know you're just ahead of me. You might as well surrender.
Ah, here's the edge of the chasm. Now, Fever, be ready. When I say go, see that you strike straight and true.
Planet Man! You have me cornered. I cannot go any further.
If you surrender now, I will see that you get a fair trial.
How do I know I can trust you?
You'll have to take that chance. Throw down your ray gun.
If I do, will you throw yours down also?
No tricks.
I know when I am beaten, Planet Man. You can depend on my word.
Very well. When I say three, you throw your weapon out on the floor of the tunnel where I can see it. Then I will do the same.
Start counting, Planet Man.
One, two, three.
There it goes.
And there is mine.
Now FEMA strike.
Dantro, FEMA, look out! Oh, no!
Marston, that was your last bit of treachery. I'm coming after you.
Planet Man, you still live. FEMA, you failed me.
Look out, Marston, the chasm!
No, no, no!
Slat certainly was a brave man to throw himself in the way of that flying cobra, FEMA. We'll never forget his heroic deed.
He's that kind of person, Judge Augustus. You know, when we picked him up, he smiled and said, "That FEMA. He must be stupid if he thinks his poison could kill me. Why, I'm so full of army snake serum from World War II that it would take Marston's bite to put me out of commission.
He's resting comfortably, sir, and should be up and around very soon. He was delighted to know that Marston's dead because of his brave deed.
Are you sure? We never did find the body.
Well, no one could have survived that fall. No, I think we can forget Marston and his evil. We have more important things to discuss.
That's right. The Council has promised to discuss the entrance of Earth into the League of Planets. Won't that be wonderful, Father? Can you imagine how they'll feel back home when they discover that for years the other planets have been inhabited, watching Earth and waiting for the first spaceship to be launched?
Yes, Pat, it will be quite a surprise. I might even say a shock. That's why I agree with Judge Augustus that we must plan the whole thing carefully. If mistakes are made, it can create a great deal of trouble. You must remember that the Earth is still divided into many factions. If one side or the other sees an opportunity to use this as a means of getting the upper hand, the news of the existence of the League of Planets may bring on a great tragedy.
Do you think we'll be allowed to go back with the first emissaries from Planaria Rex?
It will be most essential that you do. Your father is an interplanetary figure, and his words will be listened to and believed.
Isn't it time we attended the council meeting?
Yes. Let's hurry along.
Alone. Alone in the darkness. They think Marston is dead, but they've not heard the last of Marston. Here in this room are machines of the ancients they do not even dream exist. In time, I will learn how to use them. When I do, I will make the solar system pay for my suffering. One by one, the planets shall feel the weight of my anger. One by one. It will take time, but I can wait. Marston can wait.
Marston still lives, alone. But even alone, his presence is dangerous. What can one person like Marston do? What are these machines of which he speaks? And what powers do they hold? We'll be back in a moment. But first, here is a message that the Planet Man wants you to hear. Tune in again for more transcribed thrills and adventures. Rocket millions of light years into space with Dantro, the Planet Man.
The
Planet Man. The Planet Man.
This is the fascinating story of Dantro, the Planet Man, troubleshooter for the League of Planets organization, the law enforcement body for peace and justice in the celestial world, whose headquarters and center of operations are situated on the capital of all the planets, Planaria Rex. From Mercury to Pluto, wherever danger threatens the universe, you will find Dantro, the Planet Man, fighting for fair play. In a moment, the Planet Man. You will recall that our friends were safe at last back on Planaria Rex after successfully thwarting Marston's plans to conquer the Earth. They and Dantro, the Planet Man, believe Marston to be dead, victim of his own evil. But though badly wounded, he is alive planning revenge. Platt, who in saving the Planet Man's life was himself poisoned by FEMA, Marston's flying cobra, is the cover. We find Billy and Jane out in space aboard a scout ship of the League of Planets Patrol.
1,000 miles a minute! The kids back on Earth could see us now.
Oh, Billy, isn't it exciting?
Captain Alstar, can you hear me? When can I take the controls?
In a minute now, Billy. I'll switch controls up to forward con. We'll be clear of the regular space lanes by then. I wouldn't want to run into the Mars Express.
You think I'll be able to solo soon? Planet Man promised me I'd pilot a ship alone when I passed all the tests.
Oh, Billy, you're in such a hurry. Well, you've only taken lessons for a few days.
What are you talking about? I've had 10 lessons.
That still doesn't make you a pilot.
Like you know. Captain Alstar says I'm a natural spaceman. Tell her, Captain.
That's right, Jane. Billy's one of those rare people whose coordination is perfect for space.
See, that's how much you know.
That still doesn't mean you haven't anything to learn. I've been watching, and it's pretty complicated.
Jane's got a point there, Billy. You can take over now if you're ready.
Just watch me.
Now, Billy, be careful. Billy, what's happening?
Gee whiz, will you stop it? Gosh, Captain Allstar, aren't girls awful? Always worrying. I know what I'm doing.
He's doing fine, Jane. But Billy, keep steady on that accelerator. You're safe around here than a lot of other places you've been. We're 200,000 miles out with nothing but space around us.
She's not really scared. She always talks like that. But when there's trouble, you can count on her. Am I on a course, Captain?
Right on the beam, Billy. Just hold it where it is. Now, I'd like to ask you a few questions and see how well you remember what you've learned.
Shoot!
How can I tell whether we're on course or not?
Well, that's easy by checking the spot... that thing over there.
The spotty-linear directional coordinate.
Good for you, Jane. That's tougher to pronounce than to use. How does it work, Billy?
Well, one dial is set for our course, like this. And the other on the automatic signal to the broadcast from the space station. This way. Now, if the two lines on the screen are exactly parallel, we're on course, right?
Couldn't be righter. Now, how about that red switch on your left? What's it for? And let's see how you use it.
That's the four-screen control. When you pull it, the ship is surrounded completely by a defensive screen. It's in case we're attacked or a meteor or something comes too close. What?
Good boy, Billy. Okay, turn it off. Let's head back for Planaria Rex now, Billy. It's time we were heading in.
Yes, sir. Let me hit that port accelerator. Can I land the ship today?
Oh, there you go again, trying to do everything at once.
I promised Billy he could bring us in today. Just remember what we've been practicing, Billy, and you'll be okay.
Don't worry. I know the routine by heart. I'm heading in.
This is Spaceport, Planaria Rex, calling Freighter Centurion of Mercury. Land in Area 5, all clear for you. Hello, Miss Darrow. Oh, the nicest thing that's happened here all day. Can I show you around the control tower?
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant, but I'm afraid I'm in a bit of a hurry. Have Billy and Jane landed yet?
No, but they're due any minute now. Can't I help you?
Well, that's nice of you, but I'm afraid not. I have some important news for them.
I can reach them over the communicator beam if you like.
Oh, no, it can wait. Besides, Billy's got enough to think about flying that scout.
Yes, I guess you're right. He's making his first landing today.
Landing? Well, is it safe?
Perfectly safe. Billy's flying like a veteran. Captain Allstar, our top pilot, has been with him. He says Billy's one of the best students he's had. Don't worry.
Hello, Spaceport Planaria Rex. This is Captain Allstar. My scout is coming in. Request area for landing.
All clear, Captain. Take Area 4.
Roger and out.
It's over there, Miss Darrow. You'll get a good view from up here on the control tower deck. Don't be surprised at what you see.
Well, there's nothing wrong, is there?
No, not at all. The first time anyone lands one of those scouts, they get a real jolt.
Oh.
It's hard to gauge their speed exactly, and it takes practice to come in just right.
Well, they won't crash or anything.
Not a chance. All our ships are equipped with auto-landing gear.
Auto what?
It's a beam that cuts in automatically when they come down too fast. It acts like a kind of bumper. They'll bounce a little, but it's perfectly safe. You'd have seen me bounce on my first landing.
It should be there. I always get kind of worried knowing Planaria Rex is so close and not being able to see it. Captain, are you back there?
Yes, Billy. When the control tower gives us an area, you'll be able to see it on the screen.
Oh, they know we're coming.
We'll call in. As a matter of fact, Billy, you'd better do it now.
Jack, Hello, Darrell calling spaceport, planaria wreck. Darrell calling planaria wreck. Can you read me? Come in.
Spaceport, planaria wreck. Commence, pilot Darrell.
Oh, boy, pilot Darrell. Hear that, James?
Better get your landing clearance, Billy.
Oh, gosh, I forgot. Darrell to spaceport, are we clear to land?
Spaceport to Darrell. You're clear to land. Take area 4. Good luck.
Thanks.
Now watch the visa screen there.
It's like magic. First there's nothing, and then all of a sudden, bingo! Planaria wreck. There's the spaceport. Area 4 is that one, isn't it?
Check, Billy. It's on yours. Take her in.
Aren't we going in a little fast, Captain? Billy, oh my goodness!
Billy is heading in for his first landing. Is his speed too fast? Or is Jane just being too overcautious with Billy? We'll be back in a moment. So, level off. When we left Billy and Jane, they were in a scout spaceship, heading into a landing at the Planaria Wreck spaceport, this being Billy's solo landing. Waiting for them is Pat, who is accompanied by a lieutenant of the League of Planets squadron. The lieutenant is talking.
Here they come, Miss Darrow. See you over there?
Two minutes traveling. Are you sure there's no danger?
Not at all, but they're due for a surprise. Watch.
Oh, no. Why, he bounced 100 feet into the air. But there he goes again.
Well, they're down now.
Oh, I'm going over to the area.
Come on, I'll run you over in my jet seat.
Gosh, what happened?
Just came in a little too fast, that's all. There wasn't any danger, and the best way to learn is to bounce a few times.
See, Smarty, I told you don't know everything. Oh, you heard what the captain said. It could have happened to anybody. Come on, let's get back and see what's happening to Pat and Dantrell. Go on, Captain. Thanks. Goodbye, Captain Oster.
Bye, kids, and happy landing.
We leave for Venus.
Venus?
You see, we're going to make a tour of all the members of the League of Planets.
You mean we'll be like ambassadors from Earth?
Mm-hmm, that's exactly it. None of the people in the League of Planets has ever seen anyone from Earth.
Did you say we leave in 6 hours?
Yes, and we'll have to hurry.
Is the professor going?
No. He's decided to stay here on Planaria Rex and work in the laboratories with the scientists.
I guess Swantz can't go.
Oh, not yet. In a couple of weeks, he'll be up and around. He'll join us then. Come on.
Well, Judge Augustus, we leave in an hour.
Dantrell, I wanted to be sure you realize how important this trip is. I know everyone will like Pat, Billy, and Jane, but we don't want anything unforeseen to happen.
They'll make friends with everyone, I'm sure.
That's not what I'm worried about. Marston had friends in all the planets, and they're still very active. To keep Earth out of the League of Planets, they might even resort to violence. So be prepared for anything.
A whole new world of adventure seems to be in store for Billy, Jane, and Pat as they prepare for their interplanetary tour. What thrills lie ahead? We'll be back in a moment, but first, here is a message that Dantrell the Planet Man wants you to hear. Tune in again for more transcribed thrills and adventures. Rocket millions of light years into space with Dantrell, the Planet Man. The Planet Man. The Planet Man. This is the fascinating story of Dantrell, the Planet Man, troubleshooter for the League of Planets organization, the law enforcement body for peace and justice in the celestial world, whose headquarters and center of operations are situated on the capital of all the planets,
Planaria Rex. From Mercury to Pluto, wherever danger threatens the universe, you will find Danzo the Planet Man fighting for fair play. In a moment, the Planet Man. You will remember that Billy, Jane, and Pat Darrow were about to take off from Planaria Rex with Danzo the Planet Man for Venus. They are starting on a goodwill tour of the members in the League of Planets. Judge Augustus warned Danzo that although Marston's power was destroyed, his collaborators on the planets were still a threat to the Earth people, that they might even resort to violence in their determination to keep Earth from becoming a member of the League. We find our party preparing for their blast-off from the spaceport on Planaria Rex.
In 5 minutes or so, we'll blast off of Venus. Are you excited, Billy?
Little. Listen to him. A little, he says. Well, he's been practically jumping up and down for the last 4 hours.
You've been excited yourself, Phil. Don't talk about me.
I'm afraid we don't know an awful lot about Venus, Danzo.
Well, it isn't exactly Earth, you know. The clouds that shroud the planet are dust.
I thought they were like the ones back home. You know, water vapor.
No, they're dust. As a matter of fact, the surface of the planet is almost covered with dust. The Manusians have evolved a culture that's quite different from any other planet in the League. They even look different, as you know. Their noses, for instance. You've noticed how big they are. That's because of the dust. They have a kind of filter that's part of their bodies that enables them to breathe.
Oh, I wondered about that. And about the extra eyelid they seem to have. It's transparent. I guess that's to protect their eyes from the dust.
Yes, exactly, Pat.
But do they live out in the middle of the dust all the time? Doesn't it get into their food and everything?
Well, one time they did. But for centuries, they've lived under tremendous transparent domes. Their cities are covered by them. We'll be quite comfortable inside them.
Won't we ever go outside?
Oh, yes, but when we do, we'll have to wear respirators to filter out the dust.
I couldn't help laughing when I first saw the Venusian ambassador's big nose. I guess nature knows what she's doing.
They'll have the laugh on us with our respirators.
Well, they're much too polite to laugh. But you're right about nature. You'll find as we travel around that some of the races in the League of Planets will look pretty funny to you. But there's always a good reason for it. They've each adapted to the environment of the place they live. That's why even the people back on your Earth are different.
Isn't it getting close to blast-off time?
Oh, just about, Billy. I want to give the ship a quick check, though, before we go up. That's funny.
What's funny?
I may be just imagining things, but the controls don't feel right to me. Particularly the counter-gravity stabilizer.
Gee, you don't think it's busted, do you? Will it delay our trip?
Not busted, Billy. Broken.
Gee whiz, what's the difference? You know what I mean.
Will it dance or will it delay us?
Don't distract him, Billy.
Well, that's all right. After all, Billy wants to learn. The pilot needs to know his ship.
Sure, you women don't understand these mechanical things. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Oh, I'm afraid it's a little too technical even for you, Billy. I better call the flight engineer. I checked the entire ship with him myself before, but I'll ask him to go over this counter-gravity stabilizer again. Flight engineer, report to control deck at once.
Flight engineer Mako, sir. What's up?
Well, it's probably nothing, but the controls don't seem to respond quite right.
Well, we checked them together.
Can you give them a quick once-over just for luck?
Well, of course, sir.
I'm almost the pilot, you know.
I know. I've been hearing about you. Sure, you can hold these tools and hand them to me as I need them.
How many people are there on Venus, Danzo?
About 1 billion people, Jane.
Any animals?
Oh, of course. And like the Venusians, they've all adapted themselves to the dust. There's another inhabitant of Venus that's almost a legend. Very few of them have ever been seen. There isn't even a picture of one, and most Venusians doubt that they exist.
He sounds mysterious. What are they?
Well, the Venusians call them Dusty. They're almost humanoid in appearance from the stories I've heard. No one really knows much about them, but they've been credited with almost magical powers.
Do you believe that?
Well, I'm afraid I don't know what to believe, Jane. I've traveled around the solar system and seen too many unbelievable things to be sure of anything. Certainly no evidence to support that belief, though. Probably just a sort of legend more than anything else. Oh, any luck, Mako?
Well, nothing wrong so far, sir.
Have you checked the stabilizer?
I'm just going over it now. Seems okay. Wait a minute. Billy, hand me that round tube. It can't be.
Trouble?
I'm afraid so. I'm not sure yet, but
Something isn't the way it should be here.
You better go over it carefully.
Don't worry, sir. I will. Hand me that scanner, Billy.
Can it be serious? I mean, if it didn't work right?
Serious enough to end our trip before we had hardly gotten started. Without the stabilizer, we'd never clear the gravity field of Planaria Rex. It could make us crash if it were badly enough warped.
Jumping ton talk, this is awful.
Did I give you the wrong tool?
No, the tool's all right, but something else is awfully wrong. Will you come over to the engineering maintenance for a moment, sir? I'd like to talk to you.
Can I come?
You better stay here with the tools, Billy. It's pretty technical anyhow. And I've got to look at some relay charts. I'll explain it to you when I get back. What's the trouble?
Well, I didn't want to tell you in front of the kids and Miss Darrow, sir. There's no sense worrying them. But that gravity stabilizer is absolutely useless. You wouldn't get 2 miles off Planaria Rex. You'd come down like a meteor.
Well, you could have told me in front of them they're not the kind that get frightened easily.
That's not why I asked you to step out. That equipment is useless. And it's no accident.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
It's been tampered with.
Tampered with? Are you sure?
You went over it with me, sir. It was in perfect shape then.
But are you sure it's been deliberately damaged?
The way it is, it couldn't have been an accident. The connections have been switched and the tube shorted. Whoever did it knew exactly what he was doing. You wouldn't have had a chance of landing without a crash.
You'd better check the rest of the controls. I'll make some excuse to Miss Darrow and the kids. And check it thoroughly.
Don't worry, I'll go over everything with a micro scanner.
There's trouble ahead for the League of Planets group before they even take off on their goodwill trip. Who is behind this sabotage? We'll be back in a moment. So, level up. When we left Danzo, he was informed by the flight engineer that the proposed interplanetary goodwill spaceship, the Planeteer, had been sabotaged. Now we find Danzo talking with Billy, Jane, and Pat in the control cabin, but not letting on to what is really wrong.
Do you think we'll make it this time, Danzo?
Well, I think so, Billy. What happened before was just one of those accidents. It should teach you a good lesson, though. Always check your ship before you take it up. Even the best technicians slip sometimes, and it's your life that's at stake, and sometimes others.
You bet I will. Can I stand here a while you blast off?
Oh, me too. Well,
you may be in the way.
Oh, it's all right, Pat. No trouble at all. I'm not very complicated.
Well, I keep forgetting how different from the old Constitution these ships are. No dangerous acceleration, no recoil couches. It's almost like going up in an elevator.
There goes the signal to blast off.
Right, Billy. Here we go.
Boy, this ship really travels. Can I take over the control room?
Maybe not this trip, Billy. Don't worry, you'll have a lot of chance to be traveling a lot for a while now. We'll be out of these dust clouds in a minute, and then you'll be able to take your first look at Venus.
I've always thought that the clouds were water vapor, like the clouds on Earth.
Well, if they were, Venus would be a lot better off. As it is, they have ways that will seem quite strange to you. But you'll see it yourself in a little while now. There, now you can see the planet.
Why, it looks like a big desert. Hey, what's that thing down there? It looks like a big bubble.
Well, that's Venusport. I told you their cities were covered with tremendous domes to keep out the dust storms.
But how do we get in?
Well, they have locks like the airlocks on a spaceship. You go through one door, which seals, and then we can go through the second, through to the city itself.
Do they know we're coming?
Well, I've already signaled ahead. You see that directional arrow? If we keep it lined up with the beam, we will come right onto the port.
I see it. It's that round opening.
Yeah, that's right. We'll have to slow down.
There, a second door ahead of us now. What's opening?
The outer door must be closed then. Here we go.
See, the landing field is below us.
Yes, and there's a delegation waiting for us to land. They'll probably make a speech. Yes, this is quite an event for Venus. Not often they have visitors from the other planets.
On behalf of the people of Venus, I welcome you to Venusport. Our planet is yours.
Do you think he means it? Be quiet, Billy. This is a very serious occasion.
As I grasp the hands of each of you from Earth, may it be a symbol of the future unity for the people of Venus and the people of your home planet.
The first leg on the interplanetary goodwill tour has been made without incident, except for the attempted sabotage of the Planeteer at takeoff. Now on the planet Venus, the planet of dust, the Earth people and Danto are to be the most honored guests in many a century. We'll be back in a moment, but first, here is a message the Planet Man wants you to hear. Tune in again for more transcribed thrills and adventures. Rocket millions of light years into space with Dan Troll, the Planet Man.
The Planet Man.